we're doing Parshas Zosa Bracha. The truth is, and I apologize about this, we are going to have to make up Hazinu. I do have a parsha for a shir for Parshas Hazinu. Just haven't done it yet. So now, Parshas Zosa Bracha. The pasuk is toward the end. Perek Lamed Dalid Pasuk Hey. Vayamas Shom Moshe Eved Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu died there, the Eved of Hashem. The Eretz Moav in the land of Moav. Al Pi Hashem by the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So here's the main part. The Gemara Bava Basra. It's on Daf Tes Vav Amud Aleph. Says Yoshua wrote the last 8 psukim of the Torah, starting from Vayamas Shem Moshe. He wrote these last 8 psukim. There's a brisa that supports this. The brisa supports it, which asks, how could Moshe have written the last 8 psukim of the Torah? The last 8 psukim of the Torah say Vayamas Shem Moshe. Moshe died there. Moshe couldn't have written that because he wasn't yet dead. So it must be. Right, the idea is Rabbi Yehuda, some say Rabbi Nechemya, concludes that Moshe wrote the entire Torah up until this point. From here on, it was written by Yoshua. Now this is an amazing answer, because that means that the Torah that we have in our hands is not entirely written by Moshe Rabbeinu, even though we call it Toras Moshe, the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu itself, but it wasn't entirely written by Moshe Rabbeinu. The last 8 psukim were added on later by Yoshua. I don't know when, maybe immediately, maybe toward the end of Yoshua's life, but according to this Shita, Moshe Rabbeinu did not write the entire Torah. That's Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemya. The Maskil of David says the proof to this is from the fact that it says Moshe. We're talking about Moshe. The whole thing is about Moshe. All of Sefer Devarim is about Moshe. Vayamas Shem Moshe, Moshe died there. It seems that this is separate. It's as if to say, stop, he went up to the top of the mountain, and then Vayamas Shem Moshe. This was written later on, and because it was a break, we specifically add in Moshe Rabbeinu's name here, it indicates this is a brand new piece. This is the idea that the Maskil of David tries to give off. Vayamas Shem Moshe, the fact that it says Moshe, means it must be something different. That's Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemya's Shita. You're going to ask something, gentlemen?
Why is it so perplexed to think that Moshe received the prophecy that...
We'll hold on with that. But that's Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemya's opinion. Okay, we're dealing with Tanoim. So Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemya say that. Now Rabbi Shimon says back, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Rashi says this is Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is mentioned in the Medrash, but the Gemara says it's Rabbi Shimon, that there is no way our Sefer Torah could be missing one letter, let alone 8 psukim. To say that the last 8 psukim were written by someone other than Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, absolutely not. Absolutely not. It cannot be. Let alone an entire parsha. There's no way. Instead, it must be the following. It must be that until now, Moshe Rabbeinu was told by God what to write. And he did so in some way, shape, or form. While from here on, Hashem told him what to write. And Moshe wrote it, bidema. Simply put, bidema means in tears. Moshe Rabbeinu cried his way through the rest of the Torah. He cried as he said what he had to do. That's the word used by the Gemara, bidema. So we got those 2 shitos. You got Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nechemya saying that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the whole Torah up until the last day of Pesukim. The last day of Pesukim are written by Yoshua. And you have Rabbi Meir / Rabbi Shimon. By the way, all 4 of these are Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, right? The other one that's mentioned, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Elazar are not mentioned here. That they say that he wrote it bidema. And our question is going to be today, guys, what does that mean? What does bidema mean? What are we saying over here? What's this machlokas? Is there a real machlokas? What's the machlokas of Vincent? The Marshal, yeah. Yes, there is. We'll go into an afkamin as to why this matters. The Marsha understands his opinion to me, and the idea would be that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the entire Torah until now by doing the following. Hashem would tell him what to write. So for example, Bereshis Bara Elokim. Moshe Rabbeinu would say, Bereshis Bara Elokim, and then write down, Bereshis Bara Elokim. 3 parts. Hashem spoke, Moshe repeated it, Moshe wrote it down. That's how the Marsha understands it. But the last 8 psukim, he did not say it out loud because he was crying so much. He wrote what Hashem told him directly to say. So in answer, Zalman, that's what you said before, is it so far-fetched to think that Hashem gave him a nevuah and he just wrote it down that Moshe died there? The answer is, you're right, he did. He did. According to this opinion of the Marsha, the line of Bedema, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon's opinion is that he heard the Nevuah and wrote it down directly without saying it out loud. Now, the Marsha says, writing something that hasn't happened yet is not as bad as saying something that hasn't happened yet. To say, and Moshe died there, that you can't do because that would look like a lie. Well, if it's written down that way, then it wouldn't look as much like a lie. Now, time out. There are many people that learn from this Marsha that writing something down is not a lie. writing it instead of saying it would not be considered a lie. That is absolutely not the point of this Marsha. That is not what the Marsha was getting out, and it's halachically untrue. Writing something down is as big of a lie as saying it out loud. That's halachic when it comes to that. But regardless, the line that they use from the Marsha is just that. He does say something like that. It is a little bit hard. But there's a second difference, says the Marsha. Not only was it different in how they wrote it down, but it was a different type of ink. All the rest of the Torah, the rest of the Pesukim in the Torah are written in regular black ink, in Dio, as it's called by the Gemara, written in Dio. These letters were written in tears. That the Marsha says that the way Moshe Rabbeinu cried, miraculously in some way, his tears formed the letters on the paper, that his tears were the ones that did it, and that certainly would indicate that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't lie at all. So two issues here. Says the Marsha, what we mean by bidema is that Moshe Rabbeinu was not able to say the words out loud, and that Moshe Rabbeinu's letters were actually written in tear form, not in ink form. What were you going to say before?
I'm going to say, didn't he know he's
going to
die in the first place
in Parashat Chalav? 100%. Yeah, but he knew. But nonetheless, knowing that you're going to die, even you always think, I can get out, I can do this, I can do that. Knowing that you're going to die, that's what caused him to cry as much.
And davened.
He didn't say he stopped crying. He said he stopped davening. That is, but once he got to it and it said, I'm going to die, and he saw it with his own eyes, that he couldn't handle anymore. That's the idea behind it. There's a revolver here as well, but that's the idea behind it. So again, there's a party shows over here. Now, everyone agrees, and this is a very big nafkamina, that the last eight psukim are very different from the ones before it, meaning the following. We all know, if you have to stop reading in Kriyas HaTorah at some point, we all know you're allowed to stop. Where should you stop when reading the Sefer Torah? You should stop at the end of a parsha, a pei or a samach, something like that. That's when you should stop doing something. But you're allowed to stop in the middle of a parsha if you need to. If it's necessary, you're allowed to stop in the middle of a parsha. These last eight psukim, you cannot stop. This is the halachic idea that comes out from this. One halachic nafkamina that could come out. You cannot stop in the middle over here. This is all brought down in Tosos. Rabbeinu Meshulam says that they not only that, if you got an aliyah, you had to read it yourself. You couldn't have a Baal Kore and then the guy getting the aliyah. The guy who got Chasan Torah would have to read these psukim out loud himself. He could not have somebody else do it for him because it's got to be read biyachid. That's what he says. The Rabbeinu Tam argues, the re-argue, and we hold, obviously, everybody knows, by Chasan Torah, the Baal Kore does not have to be the guy getting the aliyah. You don't have to read it yourself. It's beautiful to do so, but you don't have to do it. But they both learned, the Rabbeinu Tam, that comes from Tosfos, that you don't have to do so itself, but that is something that comes down. The Mizrahi says, this was all done on purpose, to write it in tears instead of ink. So people would recognize that these words are different, and we'd learn the lesson of Tosfos. We'd learn that these psukim are different in some way. So it was purposely written in tears, not in ink. And later on, by the way, they were copied over by Yoshua, meaning there's no real machlokas. They were written in tears, with actual tears, as Moshe Rabbeinu was crying, so he wasn't able to say them out loud. And then later on, Yoshua put them in ink on top of the tears, wrote down the actual words of what they were. So was there ink at the end of the day? Yes. Are these psukim different? Yes. Is there a machlokas between these two opinions? No. It was written in tears and then rewritten by Yoshua in ink after all of that happened. The Ben Yoyada says, since he died on Shabbos, Moshe Rabbeinu died on Shabbos. You know why? How we know that he died on Shabbos? What do we do on Shabbos to remind ourselves that Moshe Rabbeinu died? Does anybody know? What? Nazazazroah. At the end of Mincha, we say Tzidkas Chatzedek. Tzidkas Chatzedek is the Tziduk Hadin that we say because Moshe Rabbeinu died during that time. So maybe, the Ben Ish Chai says, and this is pure Ben Ish Chai, if you're Sephardi, I owe you one because he's awesome. Okay, that's for you, Isaac. Okay, this is just unbelievable. He says, maybe the reason why it had to be written in ink, instead of ink, is because you can't write a Sefer Torah on Shabbos. And he wrote these words right before he died. And he died on Shabbos. So the last eight psukim were written in tears because it's a davar sheino miskayim. It's something that doesn't last. And therefore, you could write with it on Shabbos. Now, hold on. You're going to ask me, Jason, I saw it in your eyes. Wait a second. You can't write in condensation on Shabbos, right? It's still Asur Mida Rabbanan. To take that Coke bottle over there that's cold and put your name in it on Shabbos is Asur Mida Rabbanan. So how is Moshe Rabbeinu able to do that? Well, that's easy. There's no Dor Rabbanan yet. So Moshe Rabbeinu was able to write in tears, not in ink. because that's a Dabar Miskayim, that's Asar on Shabbos. But in tears, he was able to write on the parchment on the day of his death, which was Shabbos, and therefore specifically these psukim which were written on the last day of his life, he went ahead and did it bidema. He did it in tears, and it was later on, after Shabbos, Yoshua wrote it in ink itself. Maybe this is the pshat, lo chahasa eino, that Moshe Rabbeinu's eyes never dimmed. They never dimmed because he kept having tears that were able to go onto the Sefer Torah. It shows us that he actually did these last eight psukim to be able to go through. However, the Ramami Pano, you know who the Ramami Pano is? Oh, turn 40 and I'll tell you. The Ramami Pano, quoted by the Yaivitz, Rabbi Yaakov Emden and Chuvis, argues that the tears did not, they were not normal tears. These are not tears that come from your regular eye. They were regular, clear liquid that fell on the Sefer Torah and formed words. You know what these tears were? From the pupil of Moshe Rabbeinu's eyes, black pupil ink came out from the eyes, landed on the Sefer Torah, and that's how the letters were formed. It was a kosher ink that came from the eyes of Moshe Rabbeinu, so it was tears, but it was not a tear that I would have. First of all, that is what my nightmares are made out of. Just to imagine that and picture it in my head, I'm pretty sure I'm going to have nightmares for every single night that I remember this. It's the scariest thing that I could possibly imagine. Number two, that must argue with the Ben Ish Chai, because that would be a Dover HaMiskayim, something that lasts, and would be usher to do on Shabbos itself. Maybe this is the difference between the Sifrei Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote. Maybe there were 13 Sifrei Torah. Otherwise, I don't know. I have absolutely no idea. But the Ramami Pano says it was the black ink of his eye, the black tears of his eye, that were the ones that fall down over here. Now, the Gur Aryeh says he has no problem with the fact that it says, Vayamas Sham Moshe, that he died there in past tense, and that it was done bidema, that it was done in tears. This is how he understands it, and it makes a lot of sense. He says, when a person is crying, he's losing a part of himself. It's an amazing idea. The Gur Aryeh says it's in three different places. The Maral says it in three different places. Crying is like you're losing a part of you. It's like you're taking yourself away from yourself. It's almost as if you're losing a part of your neshama, so to speak, when a person is crying. You lose yourself. Yes, sometimes we need to cry, but it's an idea of death. It is the start, aschalta de misa, the beginning of one's death. Says the Gur Aryeh, since the tears exiting are a form of destruction of the person itself, Moshe Rabbeinu crying is considered like he already died. Once he cried, and that was the bidema, therefore was considered by Yom Shal Moshe. So now you understand this answer? The first answer, the Gemara is that Yoshua wrote it because Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't write it. It's in past tense. The second answer is, no, he was crying. And if you're crying, that means you could write, you already died. You didn't fully die, but you began to die. So the Yom Shal Moshe is not a lie. It's a real thing. And that's what I meant. It was written in ink by Moshe Rabbeinu, bedema, because he cried and he already started to die. David.
So what's the... I have two questions related.
Yeah.
What's the issue with Moshe just writing that and then him dying there?
Because Vayamas Shem Moshe. If it would say... what would be the wording in future tense? Yamus Shem Moshe? Maybe that would be it. I think Yamus Shem Moshe. Moshe will die there. That's one thing. You're saying what's going to happen. But Yamus Shem Moshe means, and he died there. For him to have not died yet is weird.
In Torah or Tanakh, we don't have a wordplay with tenses.
So it is strange. Obviously, we are talking about certain times where it goes there. And yes, vavs turn things around quite a bit. That is 100% true. But this specific wording is unique. This is very unique about a person writing about his own death, his imminent death, and writing it in past tense. That's weird. So yes, you're right. Do we have this idea elsewhere? Yes. But this is the only time where we have a concept where a guy's writing about his own death and saying, past tense, he died. That's the weird part. That's what we're catching up. We're catching ourselves on.
I don't understand Moshe crying or being upset. Meaning, like, the guy's got ultimate amuna. He knows, like...
Who was it? That's what you just said, Michael. He just said that as well. Michael just brought that up. I agree with that. I definitely agree with the concept that there's something wrong with the fact that we're looking at this and we're saying to ourselves...
Like, he's crying as if he's upset.
Yeah, what's he crying about? I hear you. I don't have a great answer for that. I really don't. I don't have a full answer...
I mean, crying, it wasn't about him dying.
I think the crying is because it's the final form. This is what I was saying before. I think the crying is that it's the final. He knows he's not going on anymore. And his life was all about serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he realized my service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was ending. I'm not sure that's a great answer. I can't tell you. I'm sorry? He didn't go to Eretz Yisrael. It's a good call as well. Like, he didn't get to go to Eretz Yisrael. He didn't get to finish his tikkun. Maybe he was crying for everybody else. I don't know. We think of Moshe Rabbeinu, as we should, that Moshe Rabbeinu is beyond human emotions. Maybe Moshe Rabbeinu, at the end of his life, had that one human emotion that's there. Maybe there was that one there. I don't know if that's kfir to say, but I think to say that a person is crying, even when you know you fulfilled so much in this world, even when you know you've done so much, you still want to do one more thing. That last thing you want to do, maybe that's there. I don't know. I'm sorry? No, definitely wasn't tears of happiness. No. But Dema is not according to any Rishonim, at least. I hear it. But either way, I don't think it's... The loss is being able to go to Eretz Yisrael. That's the loss. The loss is the final tikkun for Klal Yisrael. He could have been the idea of Mashiach to bring everything together, and he couldn't do it. That was the problem, I guess, and really through his own fault. Now, there is another answer. Yeah?
Good question. Wasn't he running with his tears? Did he cry and then actually write it, or did he cry?
So right now, we're going with the Marsha that the tears seem to form themselves into letters. Right now, that's what we have. Right. The Ben Ish Chai was Machadish that he wrote it in tears, meaning the tears fell, and then he wrote the letters in the tears itself. That was the Ben Ish Chai. But the Marsha seemed to not say that. You can look at the Marsha yourself. It's there in Baba Basra. It didn't seem to say like the way the Ben Yoyada said it. Now, the Klei Chamda says something also. It's not a kasha that Moshe Rabbeinu already died, because Moshe Rabbeinu was no longer able to speak, he says. He was dying, and he was no longer able to speak, and therefore you could write that he died because it was as if, again, aschalta demisa, the same way that tears are the beginning of your death. Klei Chamda says that he wasn't able to speak anymore. The Chedvaz Yaakov, Madur Tinyan Esimin Nun Zayin, says absolutely not. There's no way. He says, you can't say that about Moshe Rabbeinu. We said that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have anything wrong toward the end of his life. To say that to him sounds absolutely crazy. But Rapersh says there's a lesson over here. Maybe it's telling us that what Moshe had to write until now was said for him as well. That up until now, everything in the Torah applied to Moshe Rabbeinu. Every mitzvah, every aveira, every lesson, mita-wise, everything applied to him. Moshe Rabbeinu, these laws were for him. These last day psukim had no shaychus to him. He's finally writing something in the Torah that had nothing to do with him. Meaning they were about him, that he died, but it wasn't a lesson for him to take from. And he realized, there's stuff in the Torah, there's laws in the Torah that have no shaychus to me, that have nothing to do with me, that I'm never going to have any shaychus to. Everybody knows that great Gemara in Chavtas and Menachos, where Moshe Rabbeinu sees Rabbi Akiva giving a shir in the future, and he goes in and he can't understand a word. And he's trying to, and Rabbi Akiva's darshaning, he can't understand anything, right? He's darshaning this, that, and the other. And Moshe Rabbeinu was upset until Rabbi Akiva was asked the kasha, where do you get that from? And he said, Alacha l'Moshe miSinai. And Moshe Rabbeinu was like, oh, Baruch Hashem. The concept behind that Gemara could be that the last 8 psukim was what Rabbi Akiva was darshaning. And Moshe Rabbeinu has no shaykhis to those 8 psukim. They have nothing to do with him. See, he's listening to the drush on those 8 psukim, and he said, Oyvei, I have no shaykhus, I don't know what's going on. How could the Torah have been given through me? You should have given it through a person like Rabbi Akiva, who has shaykhus to the whole Torah. Until finally it came back to Alach L'Moshe miSinai. The only way you get through those 8 psukim is if you get through the first, I'd have to remember, 5,845. Does anybody know it offhand? Is it something like that? Psukim in the Torah? So 5,837. If you have those, then you can get to the last eight psukim. But if you don't have it, so I think that's part of the pshat of the Torah itself. That's how Rapur says. Now, the Rabbeinu Bechaya said it similar to how you both were saying it before. The Rabbeinu Bechaya says, Moshe Rabbeinu certainly wrote the entire Torah from Bereishis up until the word Yisrael. All of it was directly from the mouth of Hashem. The Gemara, when it's asking, how could Moshe have written in a past tense, says the Rabbeinu Bechaya, I don't find that a question at all. Forget about the Gur Aryeh. Forget about the Klei Chamda that he already died a little bit. He says, I don't understand it all. He says, like what you said, right? Nevi'im can do these types of things. He says, you can do that. In Shiras Azinu, Hashem saw and was angry at what his children did. That's going to be in the future. It hasn't happened yet. Hashem saw and was angry at the people what he did. So, at what they did. So, that's in the future, but writing about the past. So why can't this be the same way? It's really David's question. My answer to the Rabbeinu Bechaya, if you know you can answer that, is the answer is, well, yeah, but again, this is about death of the person who's writing it. This is a unique type of thing. But in theory, yes, Dave, your answer is the Rabbeinu Bechaya's answer. That's his answer as he says how it's supposed to be over here. Now we get into the weird stuff. Or HaKadosh says, Moshe Rabbeinu never died. This is a Gemara in Sota. Sota Yud Gimel says, Moshe Omedu Meshamish B'marom. In fact, we say, David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim. David Melech is Moshe, and Yisrael is Yaakov, never died. Chai V'Kayim, they're still alive today. Okay, what does that mean? We don't know exactly whether that's esoteric, some type of Kabbalistic idea, or something a little bit more Pshat-oriented. I don't know. I don't know what it means exactly, but Moshe Omedu Meshamish B'marom says the Orach Chaim HaKadosh. The word Shom, there, by Yamas Shom Moshe, that Moshe Rabbeinu died there, seems to be that only in our world as it is, Moshe Rabbeinu seems to have died. But in another place, he's still very much alive. By Yamas Shom Moshe means, this is the time that Moshe is out of our world, and now in the next one. Toward the end of his life, he might have still been here physically, but by Yamas Shom Moshe means, he's not here anymore. He's no longer with us. Once he started climbing up the mountain, he was no longer with Klal Yisrael. He's climbing up the mountain to look out at Eretz Yisrael and see the expanse of all the great things in Eretz Yisrael. Once he's there, he is now officially Moshe the Malach. Moshe, who is no longer a physical person in the world. He died there when he left the people. And thus you can write by Yamas Shom Moshe because he no longer was that person at the same point. Now, I don't know. It's hard to say this because when would he have written this? He would have written it when he left the people. So how would he have written this down and then gotten it back to the people? Do you hear what I'm saying? I don't know what that means. The answer of, no, but once he left the people, he's now dead, so he could write that he's already dead. I don't understand. He's not dead until he leaves. Once he leaves, it's gone. And you can't say, well, maybe he left the sefer somewhere. Nobody knows where he died. We say, lo yada ish es kvuraso. Nobody knew where he was buried. So I don't know what that means exactly. So I'm a little lost on that. But yeah, Paul.
Why do we say that? Why is Melech attributed to Moshe? Why?
That's a great call. This line of David Melech Yisrael, I guess because he was the first Melech. But the concept of David Melech Yisrael applying to these three is brought by the Chidah, Reb Chaim Yosef David Azulai. I believe he brought it from a Rishon. I don't remember who. It might have been the Rabbeinu Ephraim. But that's where it comes from. But that's a great question. I don't have a great answer. Then you have the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra is classic, and maybe you've seen this in other Ibn Ezras. The Ibn Ezra is fascinating. He says, later on in the Pesukim, it says, Ad Hayom Hazeh, until this day, nobody knows where Moshe is buried until this day. What's until this day? Wasn't it that day? Well, if the Torah was written on that day, then Ad Hayom Hazeh. Like, no one, like, we gave this shir until this day. Like, what does that mean? You can't write that. So he says, Yoshua wrote it later and added on to the Sefer Torah. That's what Ibn Ezra says. The Or HaChaim immediately yells at him, how could you say that? You can't add on words to the Torah like that. You're not allowed to do that. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh immediately says this. He says that not only that, misunderstanding this Ibn Ezra leads credence to those opinions that say that people added on to the Torah at some later on point, which Chas V'Shalom cannot be. You can't say that Ibn Ezra. He says, I don't understand how the Ibn Ezra got that. He says he thinks the Ibn Ezra means to say from by Yamas Shom Moshe until the end was written by Yoshua. But he says, I have no idea why the Ibn Ezra is writing this here. Why he's writing Ad Hayom Hazeh is written by Yoshua. He says, I don't know what that means at all. There's a Pardes Yosef on this. It's just something to look at. Look at this Ibn Ezra. And I'll tell you, there are three times where the Ibn Ezra writes something that seems to indicate that words were added onto the Sefer Torah. Now, it's well known that the Ibn Ezra was a person that was used by many, many, not reformed, because they weren't reformed yet, but Jews that were a little bit off. There may have been people who edited the Ibn Ezra's over the years and added on their own pshatim. I don't know. This is a very difficult line to say that there's anything added onto the Torah because we don't see it from anyone else aside from the Ibn Ezra. If the Ibn Ezra wrote this, mistama, this is what he meant, that Yoshua wrote the last eight pesukim in the Torah, but it's weird. It's definitely weird and not something that I would have assumed normally. Well, it would be a problem because I'm forgetting if it's exactly this, but 5,845 versus 5,888 or the 600,000 letters?
No, I mean, isn't it in the Gemara?
Kiddushin Chav Tess, I think you're talking about?
I don't know.
Okay, that's a problem. I don't know. No, definitely not. In fact, our Torah contains less psukim than what the Torah would have had. What Torah has, meaning 5,845. The Gemara says 5,888, but there's a bunch of Gersos. That Gemara anyway says there's 600,000 letters. There are 304,805 letters in the Torah. But the Gemara in Kiddushin says there are 600,000. So that also takes a lot of work. What does that mean exactly? So there are Rishonim, Achronim, look at the Pnei Yoshua, beautiful Pnei Yoshua in that Gemara. But that's not something I don't think the Ibn Ezra was dealing with. It doesn't seem the style of the Ibn Ezra to deal with that anyway. I don't want to go into this, by the way, but just did you know that missing a letter in a Sefer Torah is not necessarily possible? Did you know that? You know, like when you see a Sefer Torah and they find a mistake, everybody's like, oh, let's get rid of it, and they probably, whatever it is. Did you know that that's true by a mezuzah, or it's tefillin, that if it's missing a letter, it's puzzle. But if it's missing a letter in a Sefer Torah, it's a machlokis rishonim. We hold that it's puzzle, like the Rambam. But not everybody holds that way. The Rambam in Hilchos Tefillin, in Perek Aleph Halacha Beis, says a Sefer Torah is like tefillin and mezuzahs. That if you're missing a letter, then it's puzzle. Or if you're missing a part of a letter, it's puzzle. Not everyone holds. I'm sorry? There are kulas right through this, but the Rambam paskins this halacha. The Meiri old, you're not even yotze the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah unless you write in every letter. If anybody looks at a Sefer Torah when it's, you know, being finished, right? Everybody knows that you fill in those letters right there at the very end. You know, the sofer that's filling in those letters is not necessarily the person who wrote the Sefer Torah. Like when Bezalel Shur here is finishing the letters, he's not the one who wrote the whole Torah. Does the person who wrote the whole Torah, is he yotze the ksiva of writing a Sefer Torah if the last couple letters are unfinished so they could do that and get the mitzvah of writing it in right there at that time? It's mind-boggling. According to the Rambam, maybe not. According to the Meiri, for sure not. The Meiri says you're not. I didn't want to go into this so much. There's a Ma'arik over here, a Tosfos. There's a lot of issues. But just know, saying that a Tosfos is puzzle because it's missing a letter is a Machlokas Rishonim. That's how we paskin. But Tosfos holds the other way. The Ma'arik holds the other way. There are other Shitas when it comes to that. Now, the Chassam Sofer doesn't understand this at all. He says, look, the last eight Pesukim weren't written by Moshe Rabbeinu. Pasuk Aleph in Perek Lamed Aleph is Vayal Moshe. Moshe went up Har Nevo, up the mountain, right, to die. He sees Eretz Yisrael, and then Vayomas Shem Moshe. Says the Chassam Sofer, when did he write those four psukim? When did he write those? If you're saying you have a problem with Vayomas Shem Moshe, that Moshe died there because it's past tense, so how could you write, and I went up to the mountain? You didn't go up to the mountain yet. You didn't go up to the mountain yet. The Chassam Sofer says, I don't understand how that could have happened. He's very confused. The Chassam Sofer says, in his mind, he feels that the Gemara made a mistake. That the Gemara meant to say, not from Vayomas Shem Moshe, but from the very beginning of Perek Lamed Aleph, four psukim earlier. It's not eight psukim that were written by Yoshua. It's 12 psukim that were written by Yoshua. The Chassam Sofer says, he's just not sure, he doesn't understand it. He doesn't say that that's the halacha, or that's what we have. He said, the Gemara says eight. Everybody says eight. Everybody's talking about eight. He says, I just don't understand why it's not 12. I don't get that. The Ibn Ezra, Taka says that it's possible from Pasuk Aleph, it was all written by Yoshua. Similar to that Ibn Ezra that we mentioned before. But there's a Tam Vidas, Rav Sternbach, that says something amazing here that I think answers up this Chassam Sofer. He said, he asked the question, why only now did he cry? It's a question that you guys were asking before. Why only now did he cry? He asked that question, and he suggests that we know that Moshe Rabbeinu really didn't die. We know that, right? As we said from the Gemara and Soto above, Moshe Omenu Shamash Marom. He merely left the world as we know it, but did not die a normal death we had. So why do we use the word Vayamas Bayim? Why not say Vaya'al? You know what it says by Chanoch, right? What does it say by Chanoch? The Einenu. He wasn't there anymore. So why not say the same word by Moshe Rabbeinu himself? It says maybe it's that Moshe Rabbeinu, the Bnei Yisrael would learn a lesson. Even Moshe Rabbeinu had to die for his sins. And if Moshe had to die for his sins, then you guys for sure are going to die for your sins. Even Moshe Rabbeinu has to leave this world because of his sins. So what about you? What's going to be with you? Well, Moshe Rabbeinu heard that Bnei Yisrael could only learn this lesson from hearing that he was going to die, that they couldn't get this lesson normally. They had to see Moshe die and thus learn a lesson from it. That's why he cried. It bothered him so much. Right, that he heard Hashem tell him that to write that he died to learn this lesson that he couldn't do anymore. So the pshat is very similar to what you're saying before. Vayomas Shem Moshe, that he died there, was not there to tell you what happened. It was there to teach Bnei Yisrael a lesson. And therefore the whole perek might be there to tell us this lesson. That even Moshe Rabbeinu had to die. Did he actually die yet? No, he actually wrote it down himself. He wrote it, Bedema though, he was crying when he wrote it because he said, why does it have to be that these people wouldn't learn this lesson without me writing this? How could they have not learned it just by thinking about it themselves? What, they had to see it with their own eyes? That's crazy. How could they have not learned it on their own? That's that. Yes, Jake.
His father never said that he died.
Amram, you mean? Yes. Yeah, that's a good call, actually. That Amram was able to go through. But how do we know that? We don't know that from anyone specific. We just know it from the Gemara telling us that he was a person that never had any sins and he died, right? That Amram never had any sins and he died. It's a great question. It's a great question. Like, oh, why wouldn't they have done it? Mimanafshach, the lesson is being learned here. That lesson is being learned from Moshe Rabbeinu himself. You'd assume? Yeah. Al Pi Hashem. Vayamashem Moshe Al Pi Hashem. Well, Aaron and Miriam. It's the Gemara right there in Bava Basra on Tes Zayinim Abayz Yud Zayinim and Aleph says there are three people that it says Al Pi Hashem by. It means that they died B'Nishika, and it's Moshe, Aaron, Miriam. That's the idea of Nishika, yeah. And then it goes through whether David, etc. But yeah, that's what the Al Pi Hashem is used for. Different, no, because they didn't really die. Their bodies became so spiritual, they became like Malachim. They were the Adam. Yeah, this is a death in this level. Right, well, obviously, with the Orach Chaim and the Gemara and Sotah is a little bit different. But yeah.
Enoch.
Yeah, Chanoch, I said. Chanoch and Eliyahu. Yeah, that's Chanoch. You're just forgetting that Enoch and Chanoch are the same person. I also had the mistake. Ecclesiastes and Kohelis are also the same person. So is Proverbs and Mishlei. I get it. I totally get it. Right? Who's the best one? Hoham. That is my favorite person in all of Tanakh. Hoham. I've yet to name my kid that way, but you'll know. Next boy, it's probably going to be Hoham. The beginning of Yoshua, Perak, around Yud Dalet. Check it out. He's one of the kings that fight against Bnei Yisrael. His name is Hoham. He's the king of Hebron. He is the dude. I'm sorry? Because his name is awesome. I don't understand. Why wouldn't I name a kid? If the name is awesome, it doesn't matter. I'm going with Hoham. Listen, I know I have a wife. This is why men have wives. Because if men didn't have wives, they would name all their kids Chalant and Schnitzel and Drumettes. That would be their three kids. Right? That would be it. So we have wives. The wives make it normal for us. So they keep it. Let's not talk about this right now. But yes. Now, this Vilna Gaon, if you've never heard this Vilna Gaon before, it clearly indicates to me that you have not learned a billion Sfarim. This Vort is mentioned in every Sefer that you've ever seen before. They all say it. Mor v'shemesh, panim yafos, k'sam sofer from the Shlach Kaddish. He says, there's no argument between them. We know the Torah existed before the world existed. 2,000 years before the world existed, the Torah existed. It's a Bereishis Rabbah, Medrash Rabbah Ches Beis, that says that the world, before the world existed, there was Torah. How do you have a Torah before the world? How do you have it? How do you have a Torah before the world? You can't have... Was it like written Bereishis Bara Elokim Es Shamayim Es Aretz before the world is created? That doesn't make any sense. So he says, it's obvious, that the Torah is made up of Shemos HaKadosh Baruch Hu, names of God. We have the Torah written out in such a way that looks like words that describe what happened. Bereishis Bara Elokim Es Shamayim Es Aretz Va'aretz Ha'isa So Vavo V'chosh Al Pnei Son V'ruach Elokim Rachav Es Al Pnei Amayim. That we have actual words that are written inside that make a lot of sense, that have letters between them, etc. But really, the Torah should be written in a different fashion. All the letters should be jumbled. All the letters should be in a different order. And it should spell out the names of Hashem. Those names of Hashem were the names that God used to create the world. Vayomer, all the Vayomers that Hashem used to create the world, they are the letter combinations of the Torah that allow you to do things. All these letter combinations, the 72-letter name, which is really a 72 words that have three letters in them. It's really a 216-letter name. The 52-letter name, the 62-letter name, all these names. Everything we have are letter combinations from different places. Wait, listen, we're coming up to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, right? We're coming up to Yom Kippur. You're going to see those names all over the place where art school tells you, scan, but do not read. Right? And you're just like, oh, am I going to Gehenna if I read this? You want to know, right? Those are not words. Dalet, Yud, Kuf, Resh, Nun, Vav, Samach, Aleph is not a word. It doesn't mean anything. It's a letter combination of Hashem's essence, I guess you could say, that he puts together, that if we really knew what we were doing, we'd all be floating in air right now, and we'd be using the Shemos to be able to give us water and do all the crazy things in the world, right? Because that would be part of Kabbalah and doing stuff like that. The Torah has never changed, but the letter combinations have changed. When the Torah was written by Moshe Rabbeinu, the letter combinations that the Torah was made up of, the Shemos of Hashem, were turned into, he put the letters and this, and he made it, Bereishis Bara Elokim Es Shamayim Es Aretz, V'aretz Ha'isa Vavo. All of the Torah was like that. Moshe Rabbeinu switched around the letters, says the Gra, of every single letter in the Torah, until the last eight psukim. The last eight psukim, he wrote the letters but not in the order that we have today. He wrote them down. He wrote them down bidema. What did we say dema meant? What did we say it meant? Dema was crying, tears. Bidema also means the word dimua, a mixture of chulin and truma. Dimua is a mixture. The Moshe wrote them bidema means he wrote all of the letters in the Torah in a mixture. He wrote them in a mixture, all jumbled. The last eight psukim were all jumbled. And then Yeshua came and took those letters and put them in the right form. Moshe wrote them bidema, and Yeshua wrote them as well. No machlokas, no argument. Both of the Tanoim are they're complementing each other. Yeshua wrote it this way, Moshe wrote it that way. This is the idea behind it. They put it together. There's no machlokas between it. That's the concept behind it. The Lashon of Dimua is being used over here. And we see both of them end up working together. That's the concept over here. Maybe similar to how the Urim Mitumim works. Everybody knows the Urim Mitumim had all the letters right there, right? The Urim made the letters light up. What did the Tumim do? That shame of Hashem called the Tumim. The Tumim unscrambled the letters and put them in order. The Urim lit them up in front of you. The Tumim put them in the right order. That's what happened. Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Torah like the Urim. All the letters there. The Tumim was that. Maybe that's how the world was created. Sort of. I don't think that would be appropriate, but yes, it was like Wheel of Fortune. We'll say it's like Wheel of Fortune in that way. Now, it's crazy. The Be'er Yosef says, now we understand. Now you understand. We always have a connection between the end of the Torah and the beginning of the Torah. The end of the Torah and the beginning of the Torah. The end of the Torah and the beginning of the Torah. What's the connection? Connection is the last eight psukim were jumbled letters. And then you get to the beginning of the Torah. Because before the world was created, the Torah was scrambled letters. The Torah was the scrambled letters of the shameless of Hashem. So it's the scrambled letters in the last eight psukim. And then comes Bereishis, where the letters are put into order as things happen. That's the concept. It's such an amazing idea of taking those letters and connecting the two. That's from the Be'er Yosef, that's the idea. The end represents what the Torah was before creation. And then it was switched back because creation went this way. Maybe that explains the Ramban. The world was created, as we know, he goes into the whole ex nihilo thing, right? That it was created from nothing, etc. But he says, the Ramban says it, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says it, the Kli Yakar says it, the world is created. Bereishis Bara Elokim Es HaShamayim, the Es HaAretz. The Shamayim and everything in it, and the Aretz and everything in it, and they were totally scrambled. And then he took out Or, and he took out Choshech, and he put that on day one. And he took out Mayim, and he took out Aretz, and that was day two. Took out plants and day three. Everything was created on day one in a scrambled, jumbled thing. And then every day he took out little things and put them in their place, which is like the way the Torah was written. Scrambled and then unscrambled at the end. The most amazing thing is, this entire board is quoted by the Baal Shem Tov as well. Baal Shem Tov, right? You know the difference between a litvak and a chassid? The Gra says, Yoshua unscrambled them at the end. The Baal Shem Tov says, and the letters unscrambled themselves at the end. That's the difference between a chassid and a litvak. The litvak says, let's get two shittas to go together. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, they really hold alike, right? That's the way the litvak learns. The chassid is just like, I don't know. This is it, b'dimua, and then the letters unscramble themselves because it's a lot cooler. It's just a lot cooler. It's crazy to be able to think that way. The Ayela Sashachar, okay, I'm not going to go into all this. The Ayela Sashachar, it's a great question over here, but to end, at the very, very end, Rav Wolfson says, Moshe Wolfson in Amunas Yitecha, he says this on Purim. In his stuff on Purim, on page 289, he says Moshe Rabbeinu was equal to 600,000 people of Klal Yisrael. He suggests 600,000 people of Klal Yisrael equal to 600,000 letters of Torah. The 600,000 letters of Torah is every pasuk in the Torah up until the last eight. The last eight represented the people in Klal Yisrael that Moshe Rabbeinu had no shaykhis to. There were people in Klal Yisrael that Moshe Rabbeinu had no sheiches to. Those are the people who argued on him, like Korach and all of his men, like Dustin and Aviram. There were people that he was equal to 600,000. But how many people were there in Klal Yisrael? 603,550. Where's the other 3,550? Where are those people? That's the connection. That's the chap. That Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't sheich to them. I could go on about that. He's an amazing... Just to see that Emunah Yitach is amazing.
Right, so we say that the Nitzis of Moshe Rabbeinu is in
all... Yes.
The father soul of all
that it's there, yeah.
So who is the father soul of those 3,550?
that he goes into, check out the Rav Wolfson over there. It's an amazing idea. The answer is Korach. The answer is Korach, but the question is why? Shkai, everybody, we'll stop with this. Marv in the other room.